Today we are looking at life in the spirit. But an alternate title will be spiritual life. Is there any difference? Is there any difference between life in the spirit and spiritual life? Yeah? You think they are the same or different? Yeah? Yeah. I think they are the same. Life in the spirit is equivalent to what? Spiritual life. So let's see Romans 8:1. Let's just quickly clarify that. Romans 8:1. New King James and New Living. Who has it? Romans chapter 8 verse 1. New King James and New Living. Who is ready? Romans 8:1. New King James and New Living. Yes. Romans 8:1. Tell us which version.
King James.
Okay, go for it.
Now therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. Now, let's have New Living Translation. New Living Translation, we would like to do that. Romans 8:1. Young people, I'm coming to all of you. Every young person in this church, I'll come to you to read, so that you will not be distracted. Amen. Romans 8:1. New Living, listen.
New Living Translation.
Yes. Is he on?
So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen. What is the difference? Spot the difference. Audrey. Audrey. Romans 8:1. New King James and New Living Translation. What is the difference? It's to everybody. Who's ready? Look at them. Yes? Yeah, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
King James Version, it says, which are in Christ Jesus. But New Living Translation, it says, who belong.
Okay, thank you. I didn't see that, but yeah, you're correct. So they change of English. But that's not the fundamental difference. Yes, young person. I like young people.
It's different because it's saying that if you belong to Christ Jesus, then you automatically won't be walking in the flesh.
Okay, so yes. Yeah, where I want you to be. So well done. Who wants to do more? I saw your hand. Say more. Say it with a masculine version.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're in a very in a modern church, when I say modern, I mean like new modern. They will just tell you, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. Whatever you do, it's okay. Once you're in Christ, you can do whatever you like. That's a false gospel. Amen? I will show it from Romans 8. I will not show you from this verse. I'll show you for the old message in Romans 8. And I'll take you back to Romans 7. I'll take you back to Romans 6 and Galatians 5. Amen? You are in Christ Jesus. Yeah? You've started the journey. Amen? So we say, I've started the journey. But that doesn't mean you've ended it. Amen? Amen? Jesus Christ is the way. You have to walk that way. Amen? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they do not walk, what? After the flesh, but after the spirit. So the question I ask is, what if they walk after the flesh? What will happen? Yes? Just follow the logic of the statement. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But if they are walking after the flesh, what is implied in this statement? Sorry? The what? Yeah. There's condemnation. Hallelujah. Why? Walking after the flesh brings what? And Jesus came to set you free. Yeah? From the dominion of the flesh. So he said, Jesus came to set me free. From the dominion of the flesh. Let's read verse 2. Yes? Verse 2, who is there? Romans 8:2. Yeah, things are still moving slowly. I'm going to wake you up by the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:2.
In King James Version.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Now, I like how the New Living puts it in this one. So, who has New Living? Romans 8:2. Yes, who is ready? New Living Translation, Romans 8:2. Synonym is not all bad. It's just once in a while. Yes, go for it. Romans 8:2.
And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has
freed you. The law of the spirit of life, is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The law of the spirit of life is what? If you read the Old Testament, it said that, I will write my laws in their heart. How does God write his law in your heart? It's by giving you what? His Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, what is the law of sin and death? That's not the law of Moses. It's the flesh. Amen? The flesh. The weakness lies in the flesh. That law. In Romans 7, tells us, so when I want to obey God, I find another law in my members. Amen? It's the flesh. The flesh is a force. The flesh is a big force, actually. Most of the spiritual warfare you fight in your life is the warfare between the flesh and what? And the spirit. If the devil is able to dominate you, he has entered through the flesh. Hallelujah. The devil cannot dominate you, except there's a gateway to the dominion of the flesh. And that means that if I want to overcome the devil and keep him out or keep him at bay of my life, I must deal with the flesh. Hallelujah. Otherwise, all the spiritual energy you're trying to generate is like you're pouring water into a basket. You're working hard to generate water, but you're pouring it where? Into a basket. So maybe it's better that you stop trying to generate the water and fix the container. Hallelujah. So that your labor is not wasted. Amen. Let's go. I'm going step by step because I want you to understand Romans 8 and God will really bless you. We're talking about life in the spirit. So there are two laws. My flesh. Wants to do things. Hallelujah. And the law of the flesh, I will tell you what the law of the flesh is. The law of the flesh is sense and reason. Thoughts and feelings. Amen. Emotions and desires. That's the law of what? Of sin and death. Amen. But the law of the spirit, is the word and the spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit does not function without the word. Because Jesus said that when I send the Holy Spirit, he will come to represent me. He said he will not speak to you of himself. He will speak to you what I have said. Hallelujah. So that means I'm not engaged with the Holy Spirit without the word. Hallelujah. That's the law of what? Of the Spirit. Are you with me? Now go to verse 6. Let's read verse 6. Romans 8, 6. It's one of my favorites. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Who is ready? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Like young people reading the Bible. Romans 8, 6. Tell us which version?
New Living Translation.
Yes, go for it.
So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
Amen. Before I go to the real question, let me ask a minor question. Based on what you just read, where is the battlefield? It's in the mind. Hello? The battlefield is not in your spirit or in your body. It's where? It's the mind. Why? Why? Why is the battlefield in the mind? Why is it not in your spirit? Why is it not in your body? Why is the battle in your mind? Why do you sometimes say, it's just my body? So why are you lazy? It's my body. All my hormones are all not working. Why is the battle in your mind, not in your body or your spirit?
Because your mind is what controls your desires.
Please put your hands together for Josh. I like it. Your mind is the control center of your life. Or let me say it this way: your mind is the center of your consciousness. Hallelujah. Your mind, is in your brain. Let me explain that. Your mind is not your brain, but it's in your brain. When you leave this world, your mind will check out of the brain. Your mind is the software inside the hardware. The brain is the hardware. Hallelujah. Your mind is the software. Hallelujah. It's a control center. Hallelujah. There where the battle is. Where is the battle?
In your mind.
In your mind. When God wants to reach you, you know God is a spirit. Hallelujah. But when God wants to reach you, He still needs to access you through your mind. When the devil too wants to get you, he needs to what? Access you where? To your mind. So the state of my mind matters a lot. It's a battle. What is it? A battle. So that's not the big question. The big question is this. Let's read King James. I like King James on that. Oh no, New King James. Romans 8:6. New King James. Who is ready? Who's not ready today? Who has been too quiet? Romans 8:6. Everyone can read the Bible in this church. Romans 8:6. Thank you. Romans 8:6. Please follow. Pay attention because a big question is coming now that we need to resolve.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
To be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Or New Living says, you know, when the sinful nature controls your mind, if it controls you, will die. But if the Holy Spirit controls you, you what? You will live. What type of death is it? Is it physical death or spiritual death? Give an answer with reason. He said, for to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life. What type of death or life? Is it spiritual or physical? Yes. So you give an answer with reason. Who's ready? Yes. There you go. Just say it again and then tell us why you think so.
I think it is spiritual on the basis that you will be dead. You won't be hearing anything from the Lord. But it's not manifesting there and there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It can be physical death. We're all going to die. I'll be raptured. I'll be raptured. Amen. Amen. Yeah, looking. I won't die, I will be raptured. That's what I choose. And I'm getting myself ready. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. What do you want? Amen. It can't be physical death. Because, you know why? Everybody should have died by now. Hello? I like to teach like this. Our things are very clear in our minds. Yeah? If to be carnally minded is physical death, we should all be dead. Amen? Because we have all been carnally minded at one point or what? Or the other. Are you with me? I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to all believers. Paul was not talking to all believers. I'm not talking to all believers. I say, as a believer, there are times in my life that I've been carnally minded. So if it's physical death, I should have died. Amen? That's why it can't be physical death. To be carnally minded is spiritual death. What does it mean of spiritual death? What does it mean to die spiritually? Come on, church. Help me. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death. What does it mean? Come on, church. It's a simple question. Is it somebody who has died spiritually? What does it mean? Wizard. I will help you, don't worry. I'm not trying to trap you. Why I do like this is just to engage you, that's all. I could just be preaching, but I can't do it. I need to give you the best value for this time. So you really go with something. Yes? What is spiritual death?
Your life will be controlled by the flesh.
Okay, I like that. That's a very intelligent answer. You know, you just gave me back the question. Okay, I accept it, but more. When you say somebody has died spiritually, what does it mean? Or let me not give any clue. If you've been in church a long time, you've been taught enough. Yes, go on.
Means the person doesn't seek the things of the kingdom, they go after worldly things.
Okay, what about religious people? There are religious people that are not born again, no. Some. Many. Including the Pharisees. Were they spiritually dead? our life. So your answer is correct, but I'm just saying that it can exceed it. Yes, of course, always spiritually, they like, you know, have, you have an unbeliever in the world, they may not care about God. But unfortunately, there are people that are religious, but are also spiritually there. So your answer is partly correct. I accept it. It's just that it's bigger. So I need an answer that covers everything. To be spiritually dead, what does it mean? Yes.
It means we are separated from God because of
you are sin. Cut off. Amen. To be spiritually dead is that you are cut off from the life of God. Or another way is that you are in spiritual darkness. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Amen. You are cut off. You are no longer actively or vitally connected to the life of God. You may still be like a fan that they put the power has gone, but it's still rolling. Yeah? That's religion. You're just religious. By the way, there's nothing wrong with religion. What is just wrong is false religion. Check in your Bible. The Bible talks about true religion. It's in James. Yeah? God wants you to practice true religion. Not what? False religion. False religion is religious hypocrisy. That is the one that is wrong. Yeah? Because it's deception. Hallelujah. When you're a genuine worshiper, you will practice what? True religion. Hallelujah. To be spiritually dead, yeah, is to be cut off from the life of God. So the question comes, can a believer die spiritually? According to Romans 8:6. Someone is born again.
But they what? They are what?
They are carnally minded. What will happen to them eventually? That is there. Romans 8 said it. Amen? If you let the flesh control you, you will what? You will die. Open your Bible to Romans 7. Let's look at that. Romans 7. You see, when I was a younger Christian, when I say younger, I don't mean many years, even maybe like 12 years ago, 15 years ago, many Christians struggle with understanding Romans 7. It looks so complicated. You have this Apostle Paul talking about himself. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. What? Please, can you read it? Two versions. Romans 7, 9. Come on, church. Who's ready? You're welcome. I hope it was a good time. Yeah. Romans 7, 9. Who's ready? Come on, church. Come on. Yes. We take New King James, we take New Living. Go for it. Romans 7, 9. Please follow. You see, let me see something to you here.
Romans 7.
Before you read, please. Before you read. Every part of the Bible that's confusing you here, there is an answer. God just needs to open your eyes. Amen. Amen. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And like I've taught you before, and I'm saying it again, as your consecration increases, your ability to see, yeah, increases. Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. For it's not talking about heaven. It's talking now, your revelation, your eyes will open. The veil will be removed. Hallelujah. So everything you don't understand in the Bible today can be understood. Yeah? As the Lord gives you, as the Lord opens your eyes. Amen? It's not a brain thing. It's not a brain thing. Yeah? It's revelation. Hallelujah? Yeah, go for it. Romans 7, 9. This Apostle Paul is writing about himself. Like, he's not saying, he's not describing somebody else. He's describing himself. Read it.
I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
Okay. Question. What type of life did he have when he was alive? What type of life did he die to? Physical or spiritual? Who's ready? Paul was alive once. When the commandment came, he died. What type of life was that? Was it a physical life or a spiritual life? Who is waiting? It's like, you know, you have to wake up, wake up.
Paul first was alive physically.
Yes.
And then when the law arrived.
Yeah.
And then that's when he started getting alive spiritually.
Yeah, I know. But he was alive physically.
Yes.
So when he died, what type of death was that?
That was a spiritual death. Yes, that was a spiritual death.
Not physical.
No.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you're following what I'm trying to tell you. Paul was always alive. He was alive when he was persecuting the church. He was alive when Stephen was being stoned and he collected the clothes. Yeah? He was alive. That's not the issue. But he's telling you that I was alive once spiritually. Yeah? When the commandment came. Yeah? And sin revived. And I what? I died spiritually. Because if he died physically, he would not continue. He wouldn't have written that Romans. Amen? Are you with me? Yeah? Are you with me? When sin revives, yeah? It can cut our spiritual life. It's the whole story of the Bible. Lucifer has spiritual life. Do you know he has spiritual life? You know, Lucifer is not an ordinary angel. Lucifer, yeah? He's not an archangel. By the way, the Bible only tells us of one archangel. There are not many. The whole Bible, check it. It's Michael the archangel. Gabriel is not an archangel. It's Michael the archangel. The devil is not an archangel. It's not in the Bible. Open your Bible to Ezekiel 28. Let's quickly look at that. Ezekiel 98. Ezekiel 28. Can you read verse 12 and verse 14? Oh, let's just read it. Let's read the 12 to 14. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 14. I want to show you some special. This is special. This is bonus. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 14. Who is ready? Ezekiel 28, 12 to 14. New King James. Come on, church. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 14. New King James. Where is the young people? Who is young? Ezekiel 28. Hello, Pumulo. Are you here or in Lake Victoria? You know, I know where Lake Victoria is now, yeah? Yeah, I was not sure until you traveled. Then it stayed in my brain. Maybe one day you take me to visit Lake Victoria, yeah? Yeah? You won't mind, would you? Good. The exeter is in Zambia. She's from Zambia, so that's right. Okay, so Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 14. And you're doing NKJV, New King James.
Son of man, take up the lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You are the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones.
Okay. Does anybody know the modern name we call the holy mountain of God today? That's the name. We use it. The mountain of God. What do we call the name? It's Mount what? Mount what? Mount, come on, don't be shy. Mount what? You know it. Even so, Mount Zion. Amen. Look, Mount Zion is not just the one in Israel. The New Jerusalem is Mount Zion. It's a mountain. If you look at Revelation 31, he said, he carried me to a great and high mountain. Hallelujah. That's the mountain of God. The throne of God is seated on the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Lucifer, the Eden is not Eden of Adam. Eden of Adam is just a replica. Amen? The Eden,
that Lucifer was is the holy mountain of God. How do we know? Because we see that many of the stones that have been mentioned in Ezekiel 28 are repeated, like for like, in Revelation 21. Hallelujah. Where was Lucifer?
His assignment was to decorate the New Jerusalem. The place has been, just like go to prepare a place for you. It's still being prepared. Hallelujah. But that's not where I'm going. That's not where I'm going. Yeah? Lucifer was. Anybody here? Young people? Hello, can you just wave to me? Wave to me if you're young. You are between 11 and 25. Come on, wait to me. Wait to me. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. Any young person here feels they are beautiful? Come on now. Yeah, you think you are beautiful? Yeah? It's not bad. Thank you. It's not bad. Hallelujah. You know, Psalm 139 says that, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's enough for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Bible calls Lucifer the sum, the perfection of beauty. I don't know if there's a stronger word. Like, if I want to describe beauty, and I say someone is the perfection, can you do better? Hallelujah. Actually, you can. You can do better. Only one way. There's only one person that does better. Who is that? Jesus. Because you see in Song of Solomon, he said, you are altogether lovely. Hallelujah. To me, that's a better word. I prefer that. Amen. But Lucifer was the perfection of beauty. Amen. But that was not all. He calls him the sum. If you read, you could just say the seal, but in the other simple version, he is the sum of wisdom. Meaning that if you measure his IQ, when you say the sum, is the seal? That is the totality. Well, from the point of view of a created being. So, anybody think they are smarter than Lucifer here? Is the sum? Anybody think they are more handsome, more beautiful than Lucifer? Is the perfection of beauty. At least from the point of view of a created being. Amen? Hallelujah. Then, to now finish it, verse 14 calls him, he said, you were the anointed cherub. Hallelujah. Of all the creations of God, the highest class, in terms of power and strength, is the cherub. Of course, we also have the seraph. Amen? But the seraph, they are stewards of the throne of God. The Bible says they did not stop crying day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Yeah? But you know the type of car that God rides. What's that car you like to ride? If your dream car, Joshua, your dream car. Don't mind your dad. You have your own life. Yeah. Dream. I'll give you some time to think about it. Let's go this way. Who likes a car here? Let me look at their faces. Who would like a car? Yeah. Let's see. Okay. This way. What's your dream car? Sorry?
G63.
Are you listening to that? No hesitation. Amen. Did you think about it now? It's still processing. Still processing. Okay. Anybody in church, their dream car? Said G63. I didn't know the meaning. So I just used time to do as if, okay, I got it. But I know that you will know the meaning. You see, I'm not afraid to tell you that I don't know. Sometimes my wife said that you're too frank. I just want to be me. You know why? You see, if you always say the truth, you don't have to think. Just say the truth. Yeah. When you are weak, don't lie. So I'm weak, but the Lord is my strength. You see? Than trying to cover up that you know with nothing happened. Amen. Who is Jesus? He is the way and what?
The truth and
the life. So God's favorite car is cherub.
It's in Psalms. He said he rides on the cherub. Someone find it for me in Google. Just search God rides on the cherub. You see it? It's there. God's favorite car is what? Cherub. So if I'm a car designer, you know, I remember there's one, they call the car, what they call the car? One of the names, I forgot him, a big name. There's a car called the Beast, yeah? There's another car, he is what? I forgot his name. Big names. But you're looking at a very solid name, yeah? But don't do it anyway. Don't share God's glory. Hallelujah. Why am I going there? Lucifer was a being that God decorated. And I also want to say something, but I will say this one, but if you don't get it, don't worry about it. Many times we talk about Lucifer being the coordinator of music. I didn't see it in the Bible. What you see in Ezekiel is describing, yeah? He is in the midst of the new Jerusalem. You see all those precious stones, yeah? So when you talk about the workmanship of pipes, I'm sorry, it's not his body. It's the new Jerusalem. He's just there. He is there in the midst of it. He's not an assignment, yeah, to adorn it. So it is the midst of it. Hallelujah. He's not the coordinator of worship. He's not in the Bible. He's just describing him. And not describing his body. He's describing where he was. Go, you just go. But don't worry, don't worry. If you don't get, don't worry. Don't assume I'm right. Just leave it until another time. Amen? Those pipes are not drums. Yeah. They are not musical instruments. In fact, the only musical instruments I saw in heaven. Only two musical instruments in heaven. Only two. The old Bible. Only two musical instruments in heaven. What's the number one musical instrument in heaven? Then please think about it. The number one musical instrument in heaven is what? Is your voice. I read the word of Revelation. They lifted up their voices. And they said the word, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Your voice is so important. Your voice doesn't have to be perfect for you to make music to the Lord. You see, it's a shame, yeah, that young people come to church, yeah, praise God is going on, and they are quiet. How can you be quiet? It was not the keyboard God was looking for. It was your voice. Hello? All the keyboard and drum is you. Yeah, it's all your entertainment. You are the one being entertained. But God wants to hear what? Even if it's croaky, don't worry. He pleases him to hear your voice. Hallelujah. He said, let my prayer be what? Like what? Like incense. And the lifting up of my hands last with the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. The second musical instrument in heaven, I see, is the harp. You know? And the nature of this instrument is that you don't need to learn it. Once they put in your hand like this, you know how to play it. Hallelujah. Now, the closest, we have the instrument, the harp. Yeah? But, it's not that trivial to play. It's not as easy to play. My wife is going to learn the harp, she said. She's going to learn it. I'm still waiting. Amen. But, in terms of musical sound, the harp is a combination, yeah, of piano and guitar. And you know that the most popular musical instruments in the world are the piano and the guitar. Google it. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are the only instruments. So there's no musical instrument. It looks like a body. He is in the midst of the New Jerusalem. But where I went there was that Lucifer had spiritual life. Spiritual life, yeah, is to be in fellowship with God. He is the source of life. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. When I'm in fellowship with God, I have what? I have life. Hallelujah. I have life. I have light. I have love. It's in him. The life is not in you. It's in him. The only way you have it in you is for you to remain in him. If you walk out of him, you don't have life. Amen? First John 5. Open to First John 5. First John 5. We're talking about life in the spirit. First John 5. Verse 11 and 12. First John 5, verse 11 and 12. Let's read it. First John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Yes, who has my mic? Okay, go for it. First John 5, 11 and 12. Bonus. Read it again. First John 5, 11 and 12. Tell us which version, then I will take another version after.
New King James Version. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
God has given us what? Eternal life. Where is this eternal life? It's in where? In His Son. Continue.
He who has the Son has life.
He who has the Son has what? What life? Spiritual life, eternal life. Spiritual life is the same as eternal life. Amen? If you have spiritual life, and you stay in spiritual life, you have eternal life. Amen? But the life, don't get it twisted. Where is the life? It's in His Son. Amen? Read verse 12 again.
He who has the Son.
He who has the Son has life. Continue.
He who does not have the Son.
He who does not have the Son, does what? He does not have life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be sure of eternal life, you need to abide in Him. You need to remain in Him. He is your guarantee. Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed unto the day of what? Of redemption. That's Ephesians chapter 4. I believe it's verse 30. Or 29. Can you just confirm it for me? Whether it's 29 or 30. Ephesians 4. Can you check it up? Ephesians 4. Is it 29 or 30 that says give not the Holy Spirit? 30. Thank you. Can you read it? Read it from another version. Ephesians 4. 30.
And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee. Amen. Say with me, say, the Holy Spirit is my guarantee of eternal life. Your guarantee of eternal life, yeah, is not just the fact that you got born again. Amen. When you are born again, you can see the kingdom. Amen. But you must continue to walk in Him. The life is in Him. I am to abide in Him. If I remain in Him, vitally connected to Him, on a living continuous basis, I have life. Because the life is in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if I walk out of Him, yeah, I don't have life. Amen? If I walk out of Him, if I'm cut off, if the branch is cut off from the vine, the life is in the vine. Yeah? If that branch is cut off, it doesn't have life. It will wither and perish. John 15. Amen? So Paul said, I was alive once without the law. When the law came. Yeah? The law is not the problem. The Bible says, he writes it that the law is holy and perfect. But he says, the flesh in me is a sinful nature, the rebellious nature. Yeah, it rose within me. Yeah, it dominated me. And I died spiritually. To be carnally minded is what? Is spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life. And is what? And is peace. So you understand when the Bible tells in Romans 12:2, it said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why? Because it's only when you are transformed that you can do the will of God. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. When you are doing the will of God, it is proof that you have life. Lucifer had life. Then he died. He lost it. His spiritual life he had. What other life did he have? when he was in fellowship with God. He was on the holy mountain of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had the anointing. There were many cherubs, yeah? But he is the number one. He's the star one. The anointed cherub, the preferred vessel. Yeah? And he lost it. Okay. What about Adam and Eve when God made them? The Bible says God breathed into them the breath of life. That life is not the same as, it's not physical life. I can prove it to you. When God was creating the animals, did he breathe into them? So do you think that God was breathing oxygen into? You know that when God molded Adam and Eve, you know they were still clay. I can't try it now. Breathe oxygen into clay. No! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He breathed them life, spiritual life. He breathed a part of himself into them. That life changed clay into flesh. Amen? That life changed clay into flesh. And Adam became a living being or a living soul. Hallelujah. He had life. He had fellowship with God. Adam had fellowship with God. Amen? He had fellowship with God. That's spiritual life. Amen? But God told him, the day you eat, you will what? Surely die. What type of death was that? At least, with the benefit of hindsight, knowing that Adam did not physically die the very day. In fact, he didn't die until 930 years later. So, was God lying? Did he die or not? What about death? Okay, can I test you? Can we find evidence in Genesis 3 that Adam died spiritually? Open Genesis 3. Is there? There is like at least 4 or 5 evidences that he died spiritually. Let's look at it. Come on, open to Genesis 3. Open to Genesis 3. Yeah? Let me tell you which part you should check. Somebody help me. Which verses am I looking for? Genesis 3, which verses? Go on. What verse? Well, is it not 3? Sean, are you still here with me? Yeah. Genesis 3, which verses am I looking for? You have to help me. So I'm looking for when they've eaten the fruit and what happened after, because that's how we measure. Okay. My young lady is ready. So what I'm looking for is that they've eaten now, they disobeyed God. So we want to look for the evidence that they died spiritually.
Genesis 3:8 says that they heard from God.
Yeah, please read it. Read it. So read it. Read.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. In the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Continue. I like it.
Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?"
Okay, that's good. So, can we list them? Young people, I'm looking for 4. There are 4 to 5 evidences that Adam died spiritually in those verses. Yeah? So he ate this fruit. Yeah? So what do you notice about his reaction or behavior? So, number 1. Yes?
He was afraid.
He was afraid! What the Bible says in John? He said, there is no fear in what? In love. But perfect love cast out what? Fear. But when he died, he was what? For the first time ever. Imagine, please follow. He heard the voice of God. And instead of him to want to run towards God for fellowship, yeah, he's hiding because he was afraid. He wasn't the voice of the devil. He was the voice of God and he was afraid. That's spiritual death. Yes, more? Yes.
I believe the mind became corrupt.
Yes.
Because God said to him, "Who told you that you were naked?"
We'll go to the mind later, but let me line that one. He said he what? What? He was what? Naked. Do you know the meaning of naked? Somebody asked, what is naked? What does naked mean? I want to go deeper, obviously. Describe it in the most polite way. For someone to be naked, what does it mean? in a polite way?
Exposed.
Exposed. I like that. More. My perfect expression is the word that starts with V. He was naked. He was what? He felt vulnerable. Nakedness is to feel what? Vulnerable. That's a sign of spiritual death. Before then, he felt invisible. Yeah? But now he feels what? Vulnerable. Hallelujah. If you read again, he said, I was ashamed because I was naked. So shame. What is shame? It's an evidence of spiritual death. Hallelujah. And let's stop it there. So now, let me show you something else. Let's go back to Romans 8. We'll have a part of that, but I'm going to talk about life in the spirit. I want us to get life in the spirit. So, we see that in Romans 7, Apostle Paul tells us that he was alive once. But when the sin revived in him, he died. Apostle Paul died. Spiritually. And then Romans 7 is describing to us his struggle with sin. Yeah? When sin dominated him, it killed him spiritually. Because the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is what? It's death. Present, past, future. It's always death. When sin dominates you, yeah? It kills. It's the eternal truth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now, let's follow Apostle Paul, because he tells us his story. Look at Romans 8. Let's look at his story now. Because obviously, he wrote that to tell us that there's a problem with the flesh. And he's looking for solution. So let me say there's a problem with the flesh. And you can't run away. You can't run away. Say that. Say, I can't run away from my flesh. So what am I going to do? That's what we're looking at. How do I make sure that this flesh does not take me to hell? Hallelujah. Because this flesh is a killer. It is a killer. It is a killer. Hallelujah. It's a killer. So Romans 8, look at it. Verse 2. This one, yeah. The Holy Spirit just showed me yesterday. You know, let me tell you this one of the secret of Revelation, yeah. Read it. Pray. Read it again. Pray. Read again. You will something, at least one thing will come up. But usually we read it and we go. You understand? Read it. Pray. Read it again. Pray. Read it again. Something will come out. Even if one thing is okay. Yeah? Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 2 again. Romans 8. Yes. Let me continue again. Romans 8. Please follow me. Let me give you good news now. Let me just say this. One of the mistakes we are making in the modern day church is that we only give the good news. We don't give the bad news. You don't understand that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I was listening to a message by a man of God. He said, all the time he's reading Deuteronomy 28, because Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings of the law and the curses of the law. If we just read the blessing, then when he gets, I think it's verse 12 or 13 or 14, that's it. Who wants to read about curse? Yeah? Until one day, the Holy Spirit told him that, I wrote down one too. For your benefit. Read it. Because when you understand the bad news, you understand the value of what? Of the good news. Amen? Romans 8.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
You know, for many years in my life, until yesterday, when I read that one, I'm reading the law of the Spirit of life has made us free. Hello? You know, in verse 1, he's talking general. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not out of the flesh. That's general. But 2 is specific to himself. Please look at your Bible. Look at it. I want to have a place to speak to you. Romans 8:2 is a specific response to Romans 7. Romans 7. I was alive once without the law. When the law came, sin or the sinful nature revived and it killed me spiritually. So this is he struggling, yeah, with the flesh, because the flesh was against the spirit and the spirit was against the flesh. Hallelujah. And to be carnally minded is what? Is that mean that when the flesh dominates me, when it has the first place in me, there's only one thing it's doing. First, I become spiritually sick. And when you are sick and you are not taking medicine, what will happen? You start dying. Then no medicine, what will happen? You die. Amen. That was a stage that Paul was in his journey. But in verse 2, he's telling us, he says, now, God has helped me. Amen. The law of the spirit of life has made who? It's Paul. Paul, it's not us. It's me, free. So he's walked that journey where he began to now walk in the spirit. Of course, God revived him. Someone who dies can be revived. Lazarus died, isn't he? Was it not Baba from the dead? Amen? Amen? Someone can die spiritually and be revived. Is it not God that quickens the dead? And makes, what? Cause those things which not, as though what? They were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God revived him. Yeah? Because that's what he's doing. That's the business of God, isn't it? The business of God. Yeah? He said the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. But remember, eternal life is a gift. A gift is useless to you if you don't receive it. Hello? If the free gift of God is eternal life, yeah? And if you didn't have to do anything, everybody should be born again. Eternal life is a free gift. Am I correct? So why is everybody not born again? Why? Tell me why. Who has my mic? Why is everyone not born again? Everyone in this world, why are they not born again? Do you know why? Why is everyone not born again? Because God has already offered the free gift of eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. Why is everybody not born again? Sorry? They didn't accept it. Amen? For you to enjoy a free gift, you need to accept it. In fact, you need to recognize the value, then accept. That's why we talk about repenting. Repenting shows that you recognize the value. Amen? Then, that's not the end. You may receive a free gift. It doesn't mean you always have it. Yeah? You can lose a free gift, isn't it? Did anybody ever give you a present before? Do you remember your birthday present last year? Okay, yes. No. 2018. You know, 2018, you had a party. Do you remember all your presents?
Most of them.
Where are they now?
In my room.
Some of them, yeah? The rapture may happen and it will never be touched. Amen. Some of them, she will give them away. Some of them, I will give them away. I will just wake up one day and look at the story and say, this thing has been here for 10 years. It means it will never be noticed. I just give it away. I'm telling you what I do. Amen. You can receive a free gift, but you can lose it if you don't keep it. Amen. And the only reason why you not keep it is that you don't know, you stop appreciating the value of it. You stop abiding. You stop remaining. You allow the flesh to take over. Amen? So, in Paul's journey, as he started cooperating with the Holy Spirit, amen? He found victory over the flesh. That's why the law of the Spirit of life has made him, Paul, free from the law of what? Sin. And you know what? It also belongs to you. But it's not going to happen, yeah? If you don't cooperate. Let me say I'm dealing with time. And then I begin to round up. There'll be a part two. But I hope you're enjoying some dimensions of revelation there. Now, let's look at two more verses in Romans 8, then I'll finish for today. Romans 8:13. Can we read Romans 8:13? Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. Yes. Who has it? Romans 8:13. You know, if what you are saying is true, it must be corroborated by scripture upon scripture upon scripture. Romans 8:13. So you're my star reader for today. That's already a blessing for you. Romans 8:13.
For if you live according to the flesh, you will die.
Who is he talking to?
Everyone.
Who is he talking to there? Believers! Anybody in doubt that verse 13 is talking directly to believers? Anybody in doubt? If you're in doubt, just put up your hand. Let me clarify this. You're in doubt that when Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That he's talking, do you think he could be talking to unbelievers there? Why? An unbeliever, yes.
Because if an unbeliever is living according to the flesh, then they die.
But they can't die because they don't have life. You mean? They don't have spiritual life. Someone who doesn't have spiritual life cannot die or spiritual life. Does it make sense? Yeah, to die, you add life. Yeah? Make sense? You agree? Unbelievers can die physically. So also can believers. He's not talking about physical death there. Everybody will die, whether they live according to the flesh or not. Physically. Yeah? Does it make sense? So it's a no-brainer. It's not. He said, if you live, if you as a believer live according to the flesh, you will die spiritually. But if you as a believer, please finish it. Finish it.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body,
who can put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit? Unbeliever or believer? Yeah. Believer. The unbeliever does not have the Spirit of God. If you. So you as a believer, yeah, your assignment, I say it that way, yeah, in life, yeah, is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Because the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, or it is hostile. Yeah? A mind dominated by the flesh always operates in a way that is hostile to God. Whether he's doing that in a believer or non-believer. Flesh is flesh. He that is born of the flesh is what? His flesh. Hallelujah. So if through the Spirit you mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. I'm sure that we can go back to the Greek and interpret that like you will keep on living. Amen? You will keep on living. Now let's finish on this note. Romans 8:14, you know that one. You know, I just caught something extra yesterday. Romans 8:14. Let's read it. Romans 8:14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. As many what? As are led by the Spirit of God. These are what? The sons of God. Question I want to ask is that the Spirit leading you, or another way to say it is walking in the Spirit. I hope you understand that. Being led by the Spirit must translate into walking in the Spirit. Hello? If you are not walking in the Spirit, you are not being led by the Spirit. So I'm trying to explain leading. So the fact that somebody gave an instruction doesn't mean they are leading you. So it's my pastor. And I like him. That doesn't mean he's leading you. Yeah? He's leading you when you are following what? Instruction. If you are not following instruction, it's just a figure. Head. He's not leading. Amen? So for the Holy Spirit to lead you, what does it mean? You are following. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. So, let's now read it from Amplified. And I'll stop there. Amplified. Romans 8:14, Amplified. I thought that one said it in a better way. It really just, I read it yesterday, it just struck a chord with me. I said, yes, this, I get it deeper now. Romans 8:14, Amplified. Yes, let's go to this side. Romans 8:14, Amplified. I'm coming to you. Get ready. Mumba, that's you. I'm coming to you, Mumba. Romans 8:14. Not ready? Okay, who's ready? Anybody ready here? Yeah, go for it.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
No, yes, with Amplified. Yeah? Is that Amplified?
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Okay, is that what it says? So now, is that what it says? Okay. Look, thank you, church. You are awake. Who is ready? Look, this is the way the kingdom works. I'm telling you, read the Bible. Your faith, yeah? You are never in faith. Your faith in God is as deep as your understanding of His character. Your faith in God is as deep as the understanding of His character. Because it is character you are relying on that you say you have faith. So I'm saying part of God's character is that when somebody is not ready, we move it to another person. That's his character. Continue. Romans 8:14.
For all who are allowing themselves.
All who are allowing themselves. That's the point I really want to tell you. That to be led, you have what? You have to allow. The Holy Spirit is not going to force you. He's not in that business. Amen? When the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, He doesn't come as fire and wind. He comes as a gentle dove. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, when before I used to pray, I say, when Jesus was baptized, yeah? You know when Jesus was baptized by John? And then after, heavens opened and the Spirit came. So I said, he got water baptism, then he got Holy Spirit baptism. I was wrong. How did I know? Because, thank God for Sunday school material, I'm preparing myself, and I go back to Luke, study it. The Bible said it was conceived of what? Of the Holy Spirit. But that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. Yeah? The Bible talks about John the Baptist. He said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. So I'm asking myself, when did that happen? But now, the Holy Spirit showed me. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, carried Jesus, and she went to visit what? Elizabeth. What happened to? What happened? The baby, John the Baptist, was 6 months old in the womb. He jumped for joy. That's the day he was baptized. And what happened immediately after? Elizabeth prophesied. Then after, Mary what? Prophesied. Hallelujah. But that opens another problem. Because it means that for 30 years or so, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, but he was not manifesting. That's the perfect example of meekness. Amen? If you want to understand meekness, that's the story. Hallelujah. Because his time was not yet. And what happened in the first miracle? What happened in the first miracle? Yeah? What happened? There was no wine. So his mother went to him. Yeah? What did he tell her? Anybody remember what he told her? Woman! Look, when Jesus was talking to his disciples there, when they're in line, he will address them. When they're out of line, he called them children. He's not trying to be rude. He's just locating us spiritually. Woman, as a human being, my time has not yet come. What did Mary know that made her confident that, I mean, like, he has not performed any public miracle, but she knew something that made her confident that I can go to him and something will happen. And because Jesus was not lying. Because if Jesus said, my time has not yet come, was he lying? So Mary forced that miracle. She forced it out before time. Amen? Okay, where were we? Let's rise up. We finished there. So, the Holy Spirit in fellowship comes as a gentle dove. Amen? He doesn't come as a mushy, mighty wind or something. Many times we are praying as the Holy Spirit, move, do something. Many times, he said that we should be, the problem is usually inside. If you're not being led by the Spirit, it's a bigger problem inside than on God's side. Because God is perfect. You understand? God cannot forget to do what he ought to do. You understand? So, God's Spirit has already been released. No matter how much you cry and pray, you know, Spirit break out, God send your fire. The Holy Spirit has been released. Amen? As far as concerns, he's leading me. He's in me. Hallelujah. But am I allowing myself to be led? And let me tell you, if you think allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit is just a function of your will, you have missed it. Yeah? It's a function of your mind. To be carnally minded is what? Is that I must actively invest myself into the renewal of my mind. Then I must actively guard my mind from what is corrupting. So if I guard my mind for what is corrupting and I renew my mind, I'm ready. I'm in a state where I'll be allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Talk to God about it. I hope that those things really bless you. Because my goal really is that you live a victorious Christian life and that you finish your journey well. Not run in vain. Don't ever get it twisted that everybody is in church is going to heaven. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they what? And they follow me. It is on that basis that they have eternal life. Hallelujah. Let's talk to him. I say, Lord, I want to be living the life of the Spirit. But I understand that to do that, I need to be yielding myself or allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. But I understand today that I'm not going to get there if my mind is carnal. It is enmity. It will be pulling you back. It will be blocking you off. You will hear the truth. Your mind will rationalize it and say, it doesn't matter. There are many other people that do this thing. But as I guard my mind from corrupting influence and I invest in continuous renewal of my mind with the word, I am in a state whereby I can be allowing the gentle dove of the Holy Spirit to lead me. And that's where the victory of the spiritual life is. Talk to God about it. That's your life, you know. It's your life. You didn't come. You didn't come to sell granules. Sorry, that's an African statement. It's like, what I mean is that you have invested your life to follow Jesus. Yeah, you got to make it. Yeah, man, you got to make it home. You got to finish and finish. You got to achieve the good, accepted, and perfect will of God. Anything less is not good enough. That's what I mean. And you will not achieve it until the law of the Holy Spirit makes you free. It's personal. From the law of sin and death. So, Father, we thank you for the utterance to release your word with accuracy by the Spirit. It's not for show. It is for transformation. The truth comes to empower us to live the life. So we embrace this truth. We embrace it. Lord, what we have received today, Holy Spirit, process it further. Process it further. Help us to bear fruit.